The passage today is from John chapter 16. It's a part of what we call the upper room discourse or the farewell discourse. And the context is Jesus is going away. He's about to be crucified. And so he's trying to prepare the disciples for what is coming. And they are rightfully overwhelmed and anxious. They don't understand really what's happening, but they know Jesus has said, look, you know, I'm going away, and they're really starting to freak out. And Jesus' solution is to send them a counselor. He's going to put them in counseling. And so let's look at this passage today under three headings: the counselor's goal, the counselor's method, and the counselor's office. Office, like where do you go to see this counselor? So we'll talk about those three things. So let's start with a goal. What is the goal of the counselor? This famous Christian author, G.K. Chesterton, he once said, it's not that they can't see the solution. They can't see the problem. And it's typically true that we won't arrive at the right answer unless we're asking the right question. If we're asking the wrong question, then we're going to get off track no matter how earnest we may be. So asking the wrong question, I think, is what plagued the disciples. They were asking the wrong question, and I think oftentimes we ask the wrong question. You know, they're in this situation where Jesus has told them he's going away, and they're panicked. You know, how in the world are we going to do this without him? How are we going to be able to live this kind of life that he's called us to without him? And that's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. It seems like a great question, but it's the wrong question. It's really a question that lacks any kind of faith or trust in Jesus. After all they had seen and heard from him, it seems like a better question would have been something more like this: how will Jesus come through for us this time? What will he do to make it possible for us to stay the course in his absence? I think in a similar way, we ask the wrong question about, you know, trying to live the Christian life. How am I going to do all the things that Jesus teaches me to do? You know, how am I gonna have the ability to do all those things? And that question leads us down the wrong path because it puts all the emphasis on us and what we're going to do. Christian life is not primarily about what we're going to do. It's not primarily about our willpower and our ability to muster up enough strength to do what Jesus teaches. Rather, the Christian life is primarily about what Jesus has already done for us and what the Holy Spirit continues to do in and through us. And that means the question we should be asking about the Christian life is more like this: what will Jesus do to help us live the way that he desires that we would live? What will he do for us? How will he help us? And the answer in this text is that he's going to send us a counselor. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit. It is for your benefit that I go away. I mean, Jesus said this to the disciples, and I assume with a straight face, it is to your benefit that I go away. And they had to be thinking, what? Really? What are you talking about? I will file that under, you know, absurd things that Jesus said. It is for your benefit that I go away. They had to be completely perplexed and even a little bit frustrated with that one. How could it possibly be better that Jesus go away? I mean, they were with him. They saw all these amazing miracles. the feeding of the 5,000, the raising of Lazarus, walking on water. You know, they heard his teaching that just left people amazed. They'd never heard anybody talk like him. And now he says, hey, it's better for you if I leave, if I go away. You know, I think sometimes we might kind of get into that same kind of line of thinking. Boy, it sure would be easier for me if I had been there. It'd be much easier to believe and have faith in Jesus if I had been there. You know, if I had seen all the things that the disciples got to see, then it would be easy for me to believe. If I had been able to see all those miracles. The disciples were there. And Jesus is telling them, look, it's better for you that I go away. You know, here's what's clear from the testimony in Scripture. The disciples were different people in a positive sense after Jesus went away. When they were with him, they rarely understood what he was talking about. When they were with him, they continually lacked faith. This is, you know, emblematic of Peter, the Apostle Peter. He was just continually getting out over his skis, so to speak, and saying things that really were not appropriate, didn't make sense. He lacked faith. That was when they were with him. But after Pentecost, after the sending of the Holy Spirit, they became different people. Their faith became stronger, not weaker. The power of their witness for Christ became stronger, not weaker. They were different people after the Spirit came. They were by far more powerful, more confident, and filled with more spiritual reality after the coming of the Holy Spirit than when they were walking around with Jesus himself, watching him do all these amazing miracles. I mean, that you just read it. Just read the Gospels, read Acts, and you see the dramatic difference in them. And I think on the one hand, this should be very encouraging to us because it means that through the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to be filled with the same kind of spiritual reality that the apostles were, that we read about in the book of Acts. We have the same kind of spiritual power and vibrancy available to us. On the other hand, I think this can be very convicting to us because there's really not any excuse for you and I to not live in that same kind of power, to live in the mediocrity that so often characterizes our faith. You know, as I was preparing this, I kept thinking of this old song by a guy named Keith Green where he sings, Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. You know, if the Holy Spirit is real, and he lives in us, then we have no excuse for living with a lukewarm faith. Because what we see in the disciples is when the Holy Spirit came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were on fire. They were living for Jesus in a way that is hard for us to even imagine. It wouldn't be better if we had been there. And the sending of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit should aspire us to more. We don't need to be overwhelmed. We don't need to be anxious because we actually can do all the things that Jesus asked us to do. We can live with great power. We can live with great power through the Spirit. And that's the counselor's goal. That's what he's trying to do. He's empowering us to live for Christ. Now let's think a little bit about his method. What is the counselor's method? How does he empower us to live for Christ? And I think from this text, I would put it this way. He makes Jesus real to us. He makes Jesus real to us. Verse 14, he will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it, and that word means make it known to you. He will make it known to you. So Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and he is going to make me known to you. And that word know, it doesn't mean intellectual knowledge, it means personal knowledge, personal intimacy. You know, what's a counselor? Paraclete is the word here in Greek. And it means one who comes alongside and exhorts us, who encourages us and challenges us. So on the one hand, the counselor is empathetic. He is one who sympathizes with us. You know, he comes alongside, puts his arm around us. But on the other hand, he is one who teaches us. He challenges us. He calls us out. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the Spirit comes alongside of us, and he teaches us. In essence, he works the truth of Jesus into our lives, into our hearts. In John 14, 26, Jesus says essentially the same thing. He says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you. So the Spirit, the Counselor, he's not simply trying to inform us about Jesus. The method of the Counselor is to work the truth, to work the reality of Jesus into our lives so that we understand, so that it has a genuine impact on us. And that, therefore, gives us, empowers us to live for Christ. The Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and makes it known to us. You know, we tend, in our culture, we tend to think that the problem for everything is that we don't have enough information. We don't have enough information. And that's why education is always put forth as the solution to every problem. Well, we need to educate people. Well, but we all know that a lot of what people do that is harmful to themselves and to others, they already know that it's bad. They don't need to be told that it's bad. They already know. And we do it anyway. But we think that our problem is, you know, we don't have enough education. And if we just knew more, then we would make good and wise decisions. I think this is true in the church. When we lack the power that we need to truly and genuinely live our lives for Christ, we assume that the solution is that we need to know more. We need to know more about Jesus. And what we mean when we think we need to know more about Jesus is we need more information. We need to know more facts about Jesus. Now, knowing more facts about Jesus is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But do you know that almost all of us in this room, or a lot of us in this room, know more about Jesus, the facts of Jesus, than many of the people in the early church? Do you know in the early church they didn't have like a formal Bible, like put together. Most of the people in the early church couldn't have even read it if they had had it. They weren't educated enough to read it. You know, we have, you know, Bibles everywhere on our phones. We have books. I mean, we have podcasts, so much information available to us. Way more than they had. But I don't think any of us, if we study church history, would conclude that the church today lives with more power than the early church. The evidence for that is overwhelming. The early church lived with far more power and vibrancy than the modern church. Why? Why? We have a lot of information about Jesus, but the problem is Jesus still is not real to most of us. He's not real. He's an idea. We have all these thoughts about him, but for many of us, he's not a real person. He's not somebody that we really are in relationship with and that we know. Not know facts about, but we know him, like personally. We don't have that spiritual reality. And Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, I've been teaching you all these things, but it's only through the Holy Spirit that you're actually going to come to know them. That they're going to, these things are going to become real to you. They had to have thought, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Do you think that we're just going to forget all the things that you've said? The disciples knew they had information about Jesus and his teaching, but at the same time, they didn't know him. They didn't know him and understand who he really was. They did not personally know Jesus in the same way that they would after they received the Holy Spirit. And I think we are like them. We have this intellectual conception of Jesus, but we don't know him. He's often not real to us. And we need the Holy Spirit. We need the counselor, because that's what the Spirit does. That's what the counselor does. He makes Jesus real to us. He helps the information, you know, we've talked about this a lot. The Spirit helps the information drop 18 inches from here down to here. The Holy Spirit helps what we know about Jesus to become real. And when Jesus becomes a real person to us, then having the power to live for him becomes quite a different story. It changes altogether. So the counselor's goal is to empower us to live for Christ, and his method is to take the information that we have about Jesus and make him real to us, to open our eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. And now let's wrap it up by talking about the counselor's office. You know, he wants to transform us and take our information about Jesus and transform it into spiritual reality. So if you want that to happen in your life and you want to go meet with the counselor, so to speak, where do you go? Where is his office? Like, where does he hold office hours? Where do I go see him? Well, let me put it this way. The counselor holds office hours in various places. And for our purposes this morning, I'll call those places spiritual practices. Spiritual practices. These are the places that you go if you need counseling. if you need to meet with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to give you an exhaustive list. It would take way too long. I'm just going to give you four things. Four spiritual practices that are places that we tend to meet the Holy Spirit. Or maybe a better way to put it is that the Holy Spirit meets us. The Holy Spirit meets us in these places. I'll give you just four. Devotion, community, service, and giving. Devotion, community, service, and giving. Now let's just think about devotion. Devotion, you know, spending time in prayer, reading God's word. You know, that's probably one that a lot of people would expect that I would say. But I know this. I know this from my own personal experience. I know it from talking to others. As we pray, as we read Scripture, the Spirit speaks to us. The Spirit works on us, in us. I can tell you that nothing has helped me in my relationship with Christ. Nothing has helped Christ to become more real to me than practicing a devotional life. I mean, there have been times, and I'll be honest with you, you know, sometimes the work of the Spirit is just kind of slow and steady, and sometimes the work of the Spirit is like powerfully explosive. And I can't always tell you why it's one or the other, depending on the day. I don't know. But I just know there are times that I just read Scripture and I pray, and it just feels like a discipline. It's just something that I'm doing like day after day. And it's one of those things like where, you know, your kids are growing and you don't realize they're growing, but grandma comes to town and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, you've grown. You don't see it because you're there every day, but she sees it because she hasn't seen him in a while. And so sometimes, you know, practicing these disciplines, your growth is kind of like that. You know, it's happening, but it's just slow and steady, and you don't really see it until all of a sudden you kind of look back and go, oh, wow, I'm different. I've become a different person. But sometimes the growth is really powerful and explosive. Like, you know, my eighth grade summer going into ninth grade, I grew 6 inches. And not the way I'm growing now, but taller. I grew 6 inches in one summer. You know, and sometimes I can be reading Scripture and it's just like, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what God just said to me. Like this, you know, and when that happens, Jesus becomes much more real to me. So that's one, devotion. Community. You know, my predecessor here, a guy named Ron McCrary, he frequently said, we can experience more of Christ when we are together. We can experience more of Christ when we are together. So when we worship together, when we come together and worship and receive communion, spending time together in groups, you know, this is a vital practice. If Jesus is going to be real to us. You know, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And when we gather for worship, when we gather together, when we come to the table, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, takes that opportunity to remind us once again of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And that's important because, you know, we forget. We forget. We get immersed in our lives and in our days, and we forget. And we need the community to support us and to remind us and to help keep us on track. Service. You know, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. When we serve others, the Spirit reveals Jesus to us in a unique way. I've heard this story over and over again. I've experienced it in my own life. When we serve people, like when we go on a mission trip, and we serve people, it's a powerful experience. And Jesus becomes more real to us. I mean, I can just look at people and I just like, no, I know this is part of your story of how you have come to faith through serving others. And then the last one, giving. You know, the Spirit uses generous giving to break the power of greed in our lives and to help us learn to trust God, for our provision. You know, I've heard this again over and over again. I've experienced in my own life. When people give, it helps them to trust Jesus in a deeper, more significant way. You know, the vast majority of us in this room have enough information about Jesus. We know enough about him. But the questions are, do we have the spiritual reality of Jesus that we need? Is Jesus real to us? Do we want him to be real to us? And if we lack the power to live for Christ, and we all do on some level, it's probably because Jesus isn't as real to us as he could be. And this is what the counselor, the Holy Spirit, desires to do. He desires to empower us to live for Jesus, to make Jesus personal to us. And if this is what you want, go to him. Go to him. You know, make an appointment and go visit him in his office. And in slow, steady ways, and sometimes in powerfully explosive ways, the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and Jesus will become more than just an idea. He will become your Lord and your friend.